TheYeshiva.net.
Okay, it's been a while, so I want to welcome everybody. Bruchim Aboyim. B'Shem Hashem. Welcome. This series is dedicated by Reb Shimshon and Rivka Vershashansky in loving memory of their father and father-in-law, Reb Zalman Yude ben Reb Shalom Yeshayo ben Reb Shalom Yeshaya Deitch, Zichrona Levracha, Tehei Nishmasei Tzura B'Tzrer HaChayim. May he remain an eternal source of light and inspiration and love and truth. Thank you very much. It's also dedicated to all of our soldiers and all of those in captivity and all of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael and the whole world. And also dedicated for the birthday of Avraham Moshe ben Esther Avigail today on the 20th of Tevis, which is also the yahrzeit of the Rambam, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon. Chav Tevis is the Rambam's yahrzeit. So we're going to begin today Maimer Basi Lagani, as you see on the front page, Basi Lagani Tovshin Chav Dalad, which is a Maimer by the Rebbe, by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, said on Mitzoy Shabbos B'Shalach, Yud Aleph Shvat, Tovshin Chav Dalad, 1964. I'll just give a little bit of the history of it. I've done it in previous years, but it's worth repeating it. You could see on the front page, it says, Maimari Basi Lagani, Tovshin Chav Dalad, Tovshin Mem Dalad. The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Rayatz, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Shneyesin, whose name I'm privileged to carry, he passed away on Yud Shvat, Tovshin Yud, Shabbos Parshas Bo, on Shabbos morning, Yud Shvat, Tovshin Yud, which is 1950. It happened to be that for that Shabbos, he gave out a mimer to learn. Because the yahrzeit of his grandmother, her name was Rebbe Tzirifke, the wife of the Rebbe Marash, the fourth Chabad Rebbe, is on Yud Shvat. She passed away, Tov Rishayin Dalad, 1913. So he gave out a mimer to learn for that Shabbos. The mimer began on the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Basi Lagani Achosi Kala. Chapter 5, the beginning of chapter 5 of Shir Hashirim of the Song of Songs is Basi Lagani Achosi Kala. I came to my garden to be with my sister and my bride. Chazal interpreted as referring to the day that the Mishkan was erected, the Mishkan was established. I finally came to my garden to be with Achosi, my sister, my Kala, my bride, the Jewish people. It happens to be that Shabbos, the Rebbe Rayatz passed away. So it's like he gave out a maimer to learn on the day of his actual istalkus. It was published the day before. The maimer contained 20 chapters. And it was the way he planned it was, it should be published for 4 dates. The first 5 chapters for Yud Shvat. The next 5 for Yud Gimel Shvat, the yahrzeit of his mother. The next 5 for Purim. And the next 5 for Beis Nissen, which is the yahrzeit of his father, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. All of it was published after his istalkos, after his passing. It's a long maimer, Basi Lagani Achosi Kala. At the first yahrzeit was 1 year later, Tovshin Yud Aleph, 1951. So Yud Shvat Tovshin Aleph at the Fabrengen, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was makabel the nesius. He accepted the leadership of Chabad. So he said this maimer, Basi Lagani. And he based it on the first chapter of the Perek. The first chapter, that was the main emphasis, explaining the first chapter of his father-in-law's maimer. The next year, Tovshin Yud Beis also said the maimer Basi Lagani, but now focused primarily on the second chapter. And this became his tradition every Yud Shvat to say the maimer Basi Lagani, and focus primarily, give a summation of all the chapters till that year. Like Tovshin Yud Gimel, 1953 was chapter 3, and then Tovshin Yud Aleph, chapter 4. Tovshin Chav Dalad was chapter 14. Right, 14 years, chapter Yud Dalad. So he gives a summation till Yud Dalad and then focuses the rest on Yud Dalad. He finished the cycle, Tovshin Lamed, 1970. 20 chapters, 20 years, from Tovshin Yud Aleph, 1951, 1970. Tovshin Lamed Aleph at 71 at the Yud Shvat Fabrengen, and the Rebbe started again. Basi Lagani, and this time he did again the second cycle, but focused on different aspects of that chapter, of that particular chapter. since this year is Tovshin Pei Dalad. So according to this system, so it's chapter Yud Dalad. It's already a few cycles, but it's chapter Yud Dalad. So that's why they published for this year the Maimer of the Rebbe Tovshin Chav Dalad and Tovshin Mem Dalad. 1964. 5724 in Hebrew. 1964, which is corresponding to the chapter 14. And then in the second cycle, Tovshin Mem Dalad, 1984, which again is chapter 14. So that's what we're gonna learn. Be'ezir Hashem. So you see in the Kuntres, you've turned to page Yud Dalad. The headline is Beis Samachdalad Mitzoy Shabbos Kodesh Parshas B'Shalach Yud Alef Shvat Maimer Gimel Tovshin Chav Dalad. It says Maimer Gimel, the third Maimer, because that year Tovshin Chav Dalad Yud Shvat was on a Friday. So the Rebbe actually said three times the Maimer Basi Legani. First time was Friday night after davening in Shul. The second time was Shabbos day at the Fabrengen. He started off with a Maimer Tzitkas Perzoina B'Yisrael, the Haftarah of Parshas B'Shalach, and went into Basi Legani. And unfortunately, those two were not written. Nobody wrote them up, so they're not here. The third time he said it was Mitzoy Shabbos at the Fabrengen, and that's already on tape. So that it was recorded because it's on tape. So that's why it says Maimer Gimel, the third Maimer. The first two, Friday night, Basi Legani, and the second one, Shabbos afternoon, by the Fabrengen, were not written down. The second one they wrote down the beginning of it, Tzitkas Perzoina, but not the whole continuation of Basi Legani. A few years ago, they found the Rebbe's chief chayzer was Rabbi Yoel Kahn, Zecherno Livracha. He wrote for himself notes of the differences between the Maimer Friday night and the Maimer Mitzoy Shabbos. So they found that. So that's why here you'll have notes on the bottom, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, which represents points of additions that the Rebbe said in the Maimer Friday night. But the primary one is from Mitzoy Shabbos. Shabbos was Yud Aleph Shvat. This is Mitzoy Shabbos Yud Aleph Shvat, Tovshin Chavdal. That's why it says Maimer Gimel, the third Maimer. Okay. So as usual, he sums up the first 13 chapters very briefly, and then focuses on the Perek Yud Dalet of that original Maimer Basi Legani. Previous years, like last year, we learned Tovshin Chav Gimel, which was focused on Perek Yud Gimel, the year before Tovshin Chav Beis, Tovshin, etc. So this is Tovshin Chav Dalet. So he begins, it's clear. Anybody ask questions? Okay.
Why was it not recorded?
It was Shabbos, so there was no tape. I wasn't born yet. I was recording it somewhere else. But, very good. The Rebbe Rayatz. Oh, so the last years of the Rebbe Rayatz, he wasn't saying Maimonim. It was very difficult for him because of his physical situation. So he would write Maimer and publish it. So this particular Maimer Basi Legani, he actually said, Tofresh Pei Gimel, 1923 in Rostov. Tofresh Pei Gimel in Rostov, Parshas Boy, and the Shabbosim afterwards. So he probably wrote it then, and then either edited it, wrote Kitsurim, and gave it out, Tovshin Yud. But it came from the printing press Friday afternoon, and the Chevre, the Bochrim, whoever, learned it Friday night in Shabbos. I once saw the original Kuntres. It happens to be the word Shlita that was missing a Yud. The word Shlita was missing a Yud in the original Kuntres. And that Shabbos morning was the Histalkus. So it's like he gave it a Maimer to learn on the very day of his Histalkus. That's why every year the Rebbe would teach and learn this Maimer. So he starts off with a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, a very famous pasuk, Basi Legani Achosi Kala. Umevayir Bal HaYilula, the Bal HaYilula, meaning the Bal HaYartzeit, explains Beha Hemshech Shenosan L'Yoyim HaYilula, the Hemshech. Hemshech means the continuation, because it wasn't just one Maimer, it was four Maimarim, as I explained. 5, 5, 5 verses. It's called a Hemshech. A Hemshech means sometimes there's one Maimer, and sometimes there's a series that build on each other. They continue, it's a continuation. So the Hemshech that he gave out for the Yoyim HaYilula, for the Yartzeit, because he gave it out for, he didn't give it out for his own Yartzeit, he gave it out for his Baba, but it happened to be, it became Yisrael HaYilula, he explains the Issa B'Medrash. It says in Medrash Rabbah, on Shir HaShirim, like on most Svarim of the Tanakh, there's a Medrash. Shir HaShirim Rabbah it's called. So the Medrash says on these words, Ligani Lignuni. The word of Ligani doesn't just mean my garden, it means Gnuni. Gnuni is a term that Chazal use in the times of Chazal and before that, when a Chosin and a Kala would get married, they had like a special bridal canopy. It was a chuppah. Today we call a chuppah where they do the chuppah, but then there's a chuppah where they actually lived in. It was a canopy, either for Sheva Brachas or for the month. It was a very special, beautiful, designed canopy, exclusive for the chassan and the kala to spend the beginning of their marriage over there. And then the guests would come during the 7 days to spend time with them, rejoice with them, have meals with them, have Sheva Brachas with them. This was called Gnuni, Lignuni. So the Medrash says, Ligani, actually means Hashem says, I'm coming to my bridal canopy, the place where I'm getting married, Lamakim Shahayi Ikri Betchila. Back to the place where my presence was primarily, my primary dwelling in the beginning, the Ikir Shechina Betachtai Demaisa. Because when the world was created, the Ikir Shechina, the main place where the Shechina wanted to be was Betachtai Nim, in this lowest world. So what happened? In the beginning of creation, before the distortion, before the misalignment, which we call a chet. Chet means sin, but it really means when things are not aligned, right? Shaul HaMelech says the Tanakh Novi says, Kaleya la saira velo yechta. Shaul knew Well, Kaleya means Mechavin. He hit the target, aim the target, v'lo yechta. That doesn't mean he didn't sin, he didn't miss. He didn't miss the target. When there's a misalignment, miss also from the word miss, things are not aligned, that's the concept of chet, is a distortion. So before this lack of alignment, before the chet, before the sin, ha'isa shechina lamata b'gan Eden. That was Gan Eden. Gan Eden was in the physical world. Adam and Chava were in this world. You could see from the description of the Torah where Gan Eden is, right? Nor Yetzim Eden Lashkis Sagan, a river comes out of Eden to irrigate the garden, and from there it splits into four rivers. One of them is Chidekel, which is the Tigris, Pras, which is Euphrates. It's hard today to think of Iraq as Gan Eden, but it was in that area. The Medrash says fascinatingly that from because of the sin of the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge, and follow the following ones, the Shechina was removed from this world above all the way to the seventh heaven. He goes back to the seven heavens. He goes through the seven Chataim. There was Adam, so that brought the Shechina. It caused the Shechina to depart from earth to the first heaven. But it was still in the first heaven. And then there was the sin of Cain, who killed Hevel. And then there was Enosh, brought idolatry into the world. So that was number three. And then there was the flood. And then there was the Deir HaFlaga, the Tower of Babel. And then there was Doim. Huh? And then there's the Egyptians during the time of Avram Avinu and their moral depravity. They kidnapped Sarah. That was number seven. So with each one, the Shechina goes above to another heaven. Heaven one and heaven two and heaven three. Until all the way to the seventh heaven with the seventh. Which means with each one, the sensitivity of the world becomes less and less. When you say the Shechina departs to another heaven, we're not talking about it went into a spaceship. And he went another 100 million light years away. It means that the world became more and more divorced from its purpose, from its meaning. It's like when a person, you know, with each time I live a life of dysfunction or falsehood or immorality, so the person becomes less and less, become desensitized until I become completely detached. It's like almost a split. Right, but then, repeated itself.
So it went back to one or two after the Shechina.
So the mabul, it says in Torah, the Alter Rebbe says the mabul is like a mikveh. So the mikveh is like reset, like rebirth, but now you have to start living again. I came out of the mikveh, so I'm a new person, right? But now I have to start living again. So he says, what happened now? V'achkach bo ha-tzadikim. And then, this is all from the Medrash. Then came seven tzaddikim. V'yiridu es ha-shchinim el-mayla l'mata, kol echad ha-idei ha-vidase, ad shebo Moshe Rabbeinu, shehu ha-shvi, v'chol ha-shvi in chavivin, v'imshichim erikiyah ha-alef la-aretz. The Medrash says there were seven tzaddikim. Avraham was the first one he introduced, and he said, Chevre, this is not the way the world was supposed to be. Not supposed to be a place of violence and bloodshed and evil and selfishness and wanton murder and promiscuity. It's supposed to be a different world. Like the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu, the Moshel, it says in Bereishis Rabba, Parshas Lech Lecha, that Avraham Avinu is like a Moshel of somebody who saw a palace on fire. There's a Medrash Rabba in Lech Lecha. He saw a Bira Deilekas, a palace that's on fire. And he said, is there Yesh Balabayis Labirazu? Is there anybody who lives here? Such a beautiful mansion. So it says, Hitzitzel of Balabir, the owner of the mansion, stuck out his head from the burning flames. And he said, Ani Balabayis Labirazu. I am the master of this Bira. So it's a very mysterious medrash. There's different interpretations, what it means, what's Bira Deilekas. Does it mean he sees a beautiful world that's on fire from all the evil? And he says, obviously there's a creator. Why would a creator make a mansion just to destroy it? See, he looks out from the window, and what does he say? He says, I'm the Balabayas, and I'm also in the flames. And this is where I need you to put out the flames. And this is where Judaism begins. It's an interpretation, I think, in the Sfasemis, Bira Deilekas is, the Ishbitzame, Bira Deilekas from the word chasing. Doilek Acherov, right? Doilek doesn't only mean burning, it means chasing. He saw a Bira that's Deilekas, there's a search, there's a yearning. So he was looking for it. Hashem said, Ani Balabayas. But Avraham Avinu was the first one to start changing things around, to bring back the Shechina. Then you have Yitzchak, Yaakov, and that's number three. Number four is Yaakov's son, it's Levi. And number five is Kahas. Levi had a son, Kahas, Gershon Kahas Merari. Number six is Amram, Kahas' son Amram. Number seven is Moshe. And the Medrash says, Kol Ashvi in Chavivin. All the sevenths are loved. The Medrash says, Hashem has a special connection to number seven. We see it in Shabbos, we see it in Shemitah. You see it in Sfiris Omer, you see Shiva Nekiyim, there's a Moshe is seven, and the seventh are beloved. And Moshe brings it from heaven, number six, down into the earth. In other words, Moshe makes it a reality. And that's the main avoid. So Moshe is the one who gives us the Torah. The main avoid is, not from one to two, that's all a preparation, but the bottom line is to bring it down into the Eretz. Yeah, that's what... The Maimon Basi Lagani, after this, the Rebbe Rayat says, because Nesava Kadosh, the bearding, and he says, because Nesava Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael did it betachtoinim. And that's why, Iker Shechina betachtoinim haisa. That's what Basi Lagani. If Lagani just means that the world is a garden, which is a nice way of describing the world, the world as a garden, so it's a garden for everybody. Right? The world is full of grass and full of vegetation and full of produce and full of rivers and streams and oceans and canals. So Hashem calls it a beautiful garden. But it's a garden for everybody. This is what the Mefarshim say in Medrash. Hashem said, Basi Lagan, I came to the garden. It's my garden. So everybody's, everybody uses the garden of the world. What's Lagani, my garden? So that's what the Medrash teaches. Lagani is Lignuni. It is something mine. It says, like a, the Gnuni is an exclusive place. It's only for the Chassan and Kali. You don't put everybody there. The whole idea is the privacy, the place of intimacy. The guests came to visit during certain hours to be Mesamech, the Chassan and Kala, to bring them joy. But this is the concept. It's Lagani. Why is he calling it mine? Well, he created the world. That's true. But he's using the, he's not saying I came to the world that I created. He's using the word Lagani. This is Lignuni. In other words, this is the place where I want to hang out. This is the place where my joy is. The Chassan and Kala, this is their new place. This is where they want to be. They may go to work. They may go to other places. But this is, so that's what the Medrash says. Iker Shechina betachtoinim ha'is. So what happened with the seven sins? And then the seven tzaddikim brought it back until Moshe. And that's the Iker Avod. Famously, in the first Maimon, Basi Lagani Tov Shnei Aleph, 1951, when the Rebbe was Mekabel the Nesius, he said that you have this throughout history. So he said that the Alter Rebbe was the first generation of Chassidus Chabad, and he said this is the Dor HaShvi, the seventh, and Kol HaShvi in Chavivin, and the Avoda is to bring the Shechina down into the Aretz, which means to really change the world. Everything else is a Hachana. It's a preparation to bring the Shechina down into the earth. That's Iker Avoda, is that it should come down in the most visceral and real way into the Eretz. That's the fulfillment of Dira B'Tachtayna. Dira B'Tachtayna. V'zal Masha Kosov, the Maimah continues, this is the meaning of what it says in Tehillim. Perek Lamed Zayin, Tzadikim Yeshu Eretz V'Yishkenu La'ad Olam. The Tzadikim will inherit the earth and dwell eternally on it. So he explains, Haynu Shetzadikim Mamshichim B'chines Shoichin Ad. Modim V'Kaddish Yi Begili Lamata. There's a deeper meaning that the Tzadikim bring out that Shoichin Ad, Tzadikim Yeshu Eretz V'Yishkenu La'ad Olam. They're Mashkin, the Ad. They take the Nekuda, which is Ad, eternity. We call Hashem Shoichin Ad Morim V'Kaddish, like we say in Shoichin Ad, in Shabbos and Yom Tov, after Nishmas. Shoichin Ad Morim V'Kaddish. He dwells for eternally, he's the exalted one, he's the holy one. So Tzadikim Yishkenu, they take the Nekuda of Ad, and they bring it, they're mashkin it, they make it dwell and manifest it in the world. Yishu Aretz, they bring it into the Eretz. Sheyiyu Begilui Lamata. It should be manifested and expressed in a person's life, which means in our body, in our soul, in our heart, and in our world, in our environment. And when he says tzaddikim, like he says, you see in Aleph, the footnote Aleph, this is what the Rebbe said Friday night, he says, you have the tzaddikim in those generations, you have the tzaddikim in every generation, va'ad amech kulam tzaddikim. The Medrash speaks about those seven tzaddikim, but essentially it's tzaddikim in a tzaddik. What's the definition of a tzaddik? A tzaddik is somebody who's involved. The focus of his life is to reveal the infinity and truth and love and light of Hashem in the world. That's the agenda of the tzaddik. And that's va'amech kulam tzaddikim, essentially your entire nation. The pasuk says tzaddikim. You say the word tzaddik, it's not just referring to a few individuals who are living in some heaven. It's essentially the calling of Amech Kulam Tzadik. And this is primarily through the Avodah known in Zohar, it's known as Iskafya. So two words, probably know what they mean. Iskafya literally means to subdue, the word Kaifa, Kaifa Noisa. And Ishapcha from the word Lahapech, right? Venapechel. Two main avodas in Hashem. Iskafya means I subdue. Iskafya means I transform. And in a person's life, what that means, there's moments that we confront the adversity and we subdue it, meaning we put it in its place. Iskafya means we actually, it's a deeper level where you actually transform it. From Iskafya, you come to Iskafya. I can't always begin with Iskafya. There's a concept of Iskafya, putting it in its place, subduing it, and then ultimately transforming it, because at the core, everything can be transformed. And the Zohar says in Parshas Truma that Kadiskafya Sitracher is Talik Ikadukuchabrichubakulalman. The glory of Hashem is manifested, is revealed, is expressed in all the worlds. And the words the Zohar means is Talik. Talik actually is the word histalkus. So he said, Istalik Daikeshuinyan Shel Gilu Inaila Beyosa. The word istalik, we teach istalik, histalkos means it departs. What it really means is it's a gilui that's higher than our kalim. It's beyond our kalim, it's beyond our vessels. That's why it's called istalik. We're calling it istalkos because it's beyond my kalim. So I have to open myself up and expand my vessels in order to be able to experience it. So you have to depart too, yeah. You have to depart from your old paradigms. When there's a ur that comes in a way of istalik, so there's a moment of darkness because my vessels can't contain it. So I can go crazy. Really, what's the avoida? I have to go out of my old vessels and open myself up to a new energy, a new light, a new paradigm, because the old comfort zones, verstehst? The old comfort zones can't handle it anymore. That's what istalik means. So it's interesting, that the first maimer that Rebbe Dayatz gave, the day of his istalkos, he explained this. In the first chapter, he brings kadistalik, and the Rebbe wrote a footnote there explaining this, that istalkos means it's a higher earth. And that was the day of his istalkos. It's a It's a completely different, it's a higher revelation. That's what the Zohar says. Istal doesn't mean it goes away, then it contradicts Kulu Almin. It's stalik, the way it's in all the worlds is, it's a whole deeper light. And this is the general concept. Hashem tells Moshe, you should make a mikdash. And I'm going to dwell. V'shachanti, I will dwell b'soichem among them. Sheyesh b'zeh bezin yonim, pirushim. There's two concepts of v'shachanti. Number one, ha'inu ha'mishkan o'mikdash, shesham ha'yseik ha'shchina b'tachtenim lachri b'inyan ha'mishkan v'amikdash. One is Pasha, the Mishkan, the tabernacle in the Beis HaMikdash, where the main Shechina dwelled in our world after it was built. The famous Chazal say, it should have said, V'asu l'mikdash v'shachanti b'soichoy. I will dwell in it, not in them. There's no 30 Beis HaMikdashes, there's one Mikdash, there's one Mishkan. V'asu l'mikdash, doesn't say V'asu l'mikdashim. So it should have said, V'shachanti b'soichoy. Why did it say V'shachanti b'soicham? So on this, the Mefarshim say, B'soich kol echad v'echad. I want to, you should build a Mikdash, but where am I going to dwell? Through the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to dwell in every person's heart. I want to dwell in you, B'soicham, in them. So there's two elements in V'shachanti. Yes, there's the epicenter, the Beis HaMikdash. But then there's the other Beis HaMikdash. You know, it's not like, okay, so now we built a temple. And I'll go visit you three times a year. V'shachanti b'soicham, I'm the Beis HaMikdash, you're the Beis HaMikdash. B'soich kol echad v'echad. It's not like you built a chuppah, okay, I'll meet you there in the chuppah, I'll come for Sheva Brachas. You are the chuppah. The chuppah is built out of my heart, out of your heart. That's a little bit of a harder Beis HaMikdash to build sometimes. That's what everybody has to figure out, but a lot. We make it from the materials in our heart. We take the materials of our life. Everyone has materials in their life, right? Our emotions, our feelings, our experiences, our life story. Those are the materials of our heart. The gold, the copper, the silver, the wood, the oil, the incense. And we turn that into a mishkan, into a dwelling place. In addition to the collective v'shachanti in the actual mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. V'zo gam shachas avodas ikdus v'mishkanu inyan ha-karbonis, the pirush karbonu akiruv shebein ha-mata v'amayla k'mo shekasu rabbeinu b'chaye b'shem hazoy. And that's why one of the main functions, one of the main forms of service in the mishkan was the karbonis. The word carbon, we translate as sacrifice. But Rabbeinu Bechaya, in the name of Zayah, says actually the word carbon comes from the word karov, kiruv, carbon from the word kiruv. Adam kiyakriv means you come closer. Because the entire concept of carbon is the kiruv, the closeness, the fusion between the mata, between the lower and the maila, the higher. In other words, between the lower parts of our reality and the higher parts of our reality. And that's the function. There shouldn't be a gulf, a separation. When the Shekhinah departed, it means there became this gulf, this dissonance between the Maila and the Mata. The Maila and the Mata inside of me, the Maila and the Mata inside of us. My Mata is one world and my Maila is another world, and the two don't meet. The concept of carbon kiruv is the fusion. Adam Kiyakov, the fusion between the Maila in the person and the Mata in the person. The constant integration between all the parts of a person. There's no separation anymore. That's what it means, V'shachanti B'soicham. That Hashem should dwell in the highest, highest heavens. That's natural. That's organic. That's not Dir B'tachtoinim. To bring all the parts of me, that He should dwell inside of me. Where? What do you mean inside of me? In my Mata. In a person itself, there's the heaven in you and there's the earth in you. The heaven is those parts of us that are l'chadchila, transcendent and spiritual, idealistic. Maybe they wake up, you know, once in a while. The mata is the daily and hourly experiences and life of every single person. So the carbon is the fusion of all the parts that the v'shachanti b'soichem is in all the parts in the person. That's a good question. How do you get close by sacrificing an animal? That's the famous word from the Alter Rebbe. It says the parsha of Karbanis begins with the words Adam ki yakriv mikem karban lashem in abehemim in abakim in atzent akriv is karbanchem. Grammatically, it should have said Adam mikem ki yakriv karban lashem. Like think in English, you know, a person who's going to offer a sacrifice from you is a carp. Adam, become a person from among you who's going to. The Alter Rebbe says, Adam ki yakriv. The first thing is, mikam karban lasha. The first carbon is from the animal inside of me. Can I have a conversation with the animal inside of me and bring the Shekhinah into that place? That's the first. Then the animal is a physical expression of that. But it starts off mikem karban lasha. Certainly today, today we got no choice. We only have the inner carbon. Time of the Beis HaMikdash. Shalma Purim Svasein, ich bin the Potter. Ich bin the Potter. Look at the Torah Vayikra, yeah? Look at the Torah Vayikra. Adam Kiyakrav, yeah? Adam Kiyakrav Mikam Karban Lasha. Yeah. It's not stum learning. It's working with the Nefesh HaBahamas, the behemoth. Some people's Nefesh, the Alter Rebbe says, some people's Nefesh HaBahamas is a behemoth, is like a sheep, a goat, an ox. You have to know what type of Nefesh HaBahamas you have and work with it. It's the conversation between the divine soul and the animal soul. The language of Tanya, it's an ongoing conversation between the divine soul and the animal soul. It's not that they live in two separate countries and continents, and when you're alive, I'm dead, and when I'm alive, you're dead. That's the concept of carbon. It's important because when we translate the word sacrifice, when you say the word sacrifice, it sounds like actually you're giving yourself up. Like sacrificing means you're sacrificing your life, you're sacrificing your marriage, you're sacrificing your career. The word carbon milashon kiruv is the exact opposite. you're bringing yourself close, and that's the real meaning of sacrifice in Yiddishkeit. Because
the question was davening. Especially the chatzah shmiz with the Bahai. The chatzah shmiz.
Yeah.
He gets transformed. He gets a shruah. Sacrificing to say like you see the Bahai sacrifice. The word from matter side when you see them, how does it in the hands of the liberal world have a connection?
Because I'll tell you why. But I'll explain when. In the pagan world of Avodah Zarah, so God was like some type of big bully or a force, and he needed sacrifices. He needed sacrifices in order to appease him, right? So this country had this God, and they would do their sacrifices, and there was all types of strange, sometimes their own children, or whatever it was, to make him happy. And when he's happy, he's going to be nice to you, because you're going to give him, it's like you give him gifts, it's you give him a good meal. So it's very important to go away from this. Right? The Rambam even writes in Meir Nevuchim that the whole union of Karbonis, right? You know what the Rambam says, yeah? Everybody was steeped in human sacrifice. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what? Let's go to animal sacrifice. At least take them away from human sacrifice. It'll be animal sacrifice. But essentially, fundamentally, the whole thing was based on a distortion. That's what the Ramban is very, criticizes the Rambam. Today's the Yotzit of the Rambam. but what's the union of a carbon? The union of a carbon is when you're dealing with Ein Sof, when you're dealing with infinity, so then it's the other way around. The idea of carbon, what it really is, it's like plugging in the wire into the wall to be able to be a channel for electricity. You're not sacrificing the wire, you're plugging the wire into the source so it can actually transmit electricity. The parsha of the Mishkan begins with the word Dabar al Bnei Yisrael v'yikhu li truma. You should take truma. You're not taking, you're giving. V'yitnu li truma, not v'yikhu li truma. It's v'yikhu li truma. You're not taking a contribution, you're giving. So there's a lot of interpretations. V'yikhu, when you take it from your account, it should be li l'shmi. But that's not the main point. You're not taking, you're giving. You don't say, speak to everybody, you should take tzedakah. You should give tzedakah. This wasn't a mitzvah to take tzedakah, it's a mitzvah to give. It's a good shaila, no? The word is word, not v'yikhu. Somebody has to take, but not me. Dabar al bnei Yisrael, v'yitnu li truma. There's a lot of pshatim, but with all the pshatim, just say it clearly. Rashi says, "Yafrishu mi mamoinam nedava yikhuli l'shmi." So when you take it, you take it to give it, it should be lishmi. The emes is that he's trying to explain something. He's not. It's not the wrong one. You're not giving. You're taking. Who are you giving to? You're giving to yourself. You're giving to your real self. You're tuning in to the Ein Sof. In other words, you're tuning in to the source of reality. You're tuning into the source of your creativity, to the source of your life. Giving to Hashem means aligning yourself with life, aligning yourself, with you, instead of having dissonance. That's the whole idea. Instead of having dissonance, the Shekhinah is in one world, you're in another world, so you're unplugged. What's the best thing you can give the wire? What's the best thing you can do for the body? When the body plugs into the soul, right? You're giving to the soul. Yeah, you're giving, it's much more than that. The body is becoming alive. So it's a concept of a yichu. You're tuning in to the source of your own reality. That's the idea of carbon. And that's what sacrifice in Yiddishkeit means. Sacrifice in Yiddishkeit doesn't mean I'm throwing everything away because you want me to be a sacrificial lamb.
Taking back. Yiddishkeit means taking it back.
Yeah, it's the ultimate self-actualization in the truest sense of the word. And the truth is that in the deepest form, the self is completely selfless. The self is divine. Einoid Mulvanda. So that's why one of the main avodas was karbanos. Mam shechba maimer continues in the maimer. Sheklolus in yinam mishkan ukamay shekasev asisis akrashim lemishkan atzei shittim maimdim. The main idea of the mishkan is, it says you should build the krashim, the beams for the mishkan. Atzei shittim maimdim. They should be wood of shittim, which are usually translated as acacia wood. In Yiddish, I think, Pimsenholz. Vietmengelant in Yeshiva. Pimsenholz. Huh? What? Tenenholz in Yiddish. I think in English it's acacia wood or sometimes cedar wood. So why is the whole Mishkan, all the beams were built from Atzei Shittim? Why? The Shittim on Miloshen Shtus. The word Shittim comes from the word Shtus. The shita pirusha netiya. The word shita, like ish, kisiste ishtai. It means when you deviate. The hainu stiya mederech hayasha, shizel mitzad ashtus, the lumas a kamaimen azal ein adam evid aved elem ke nichnas by ruach shtus. The Gemara says in Saita, Rish Lakish says a person doesn't sin only if a spirit of insanity goes into him. Ruach shtus. The Gemara says this on the pasuk in Parshas Nosai, right? Kisiste ishtai. So Saf, sin, tes, hey. It should have said sister, when she deviates, she goes to another man. So the word is listot mehaderech. Stia. Yes, you know Hebrew. Samach tes yud. The pasuk uses the word with a sin. Sin tes. Ki sista ishte. Not with a samach, but with a saf sin. From the word shoita, shtus. So he says, because there has to be a momentary experience of insanity, ruach shtus, and that's really why I deviate. Person is driving on the highway, right, to go off down a cliff, or to go into a fence, yeah, to go into a forest, to go into a wall, yeah. Nichnas by ruach shtus. I was on my phone. A spirit of insanity comes. It's a gevaldik gemara. In other words, there's no such a thing a person does on aveda when they're sober. When you're really sober, when you're present, when you're aligned, when you know who you are, you also know who you're not. When you know who you are, you know who you're not. I'm not going to put in poison into my mouth when I'm sober, when I'm present. There has to be a ruach shtus that flies in. Something has to shut down. I have to shut down my thought process, shut down my sobriety, shut down my dignity, shut down my prefrontal cortex. Something has to shut down in order for me to go into this place. And that's what we do. We do it very well. The survival mechanisms do that very well. So that's the concept of shtus. The concept of shtus means, from the word shoita, there's a moment of insanity. So why was the Mishkan built from Atzei Shittim? From these woods of shtus, of shittim, that's how you built the Mishkan. So he says, I'm made it to kavart. You don't run away from your shtus. You have to take that, atzei shittim, and build from that the beams, the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the Veshachanti B'soichem is created from the shtus, from the atzei shittim. From the atzei shittim, that's how you build the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. That's why it was built into Krushim. Krushim means beams. With the word Kedesh, Kedesh is Sheker. Keresh is Kuf, Reishin, the same letters like Sheker, which means a lie. So, the definition of Hashem is Emes. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Emes Hashem la'olam. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah describes Hashem Elokim Emes. The only real definition of Emes is Emes Hashem La'olam. It's the truth of reality. That's the real definition. The Gemara says Chaysamei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The seal of Hashem is Emes. That's his signature. If it's not true, it has nothing to do that it's a fake God. That's called Avodah Zarah. Like I've said, you know, many shiurim, the moment we have to choose between God and truth, we become pagans. We're part of idolatry. If Hashem is anything but Emes, then we're barking up very, very, it's called an Asherah tree. I wanted to say the wrong tree. It actually has a name. It's called an Asherah tree, which is Avodah Zarah. So the Sheker is the antithesis of Emes Hashem Lo'ila. The word Krushim is Kedesh, is the same letters like Sheker. But it's also the same words like Kesher, which means a connection. And it's the same words like Keresh, which means a beam, a foundation. So he says, "Haynu shetzadich lafich is sheker ha'olam v'lasis imenu kedesh lemishkan u'mikdash mishkan dikri mikdash u'mikdash dikri mishkan v'aydei zenasim mishkan lo yizbarach shebayti yashras hashchinu v'shachant." So the avoid of the person is to take the sheker, to take the lie of the world, and the biggest lie of the world is that there is dissonance, that there is disconnection, that there is disunity, that I am isolated, that I am lonely, that we are detached, that humanity is detached. It's the lie of the chait, of misalignment, where the Shekhinah is in the heaven and the earth is separate, and take that lie and confront it. And that lie, to confront that lie is not easy, because that lie comes in a very sophisticated fashion. That lie comes camouflaged with a lot of supposed wisdom of separation. So to take the sheker and turn it into a kedesh, it becomes the foundation where v'shachanti b'soichem, where Hashem dwells. I don't just escape the lie, I transform the lie. I can escape the lie, but then it's not v'shachanti b'soichem. It's again, it's going to the heaven. The bringing it into Eretz is to transform it, not to escape it. V'hinikiv and shavoydi l'sakana sashtus shalamatam and aseichel. Since the avoda is to fix, to heal, to repair the shtus. What's the shtus? The shtus is the insanity, the foolishness. That's lamatam in aseichel, that's below the seichel. And avoida always has to be consistent with that which you need to repair. When I need to repair something, I have to work with that which I need to repair. I can't work with something else. So this means that avoida can't only be al pi seichel, because when avoida is only al pi seichel, I can't fix the shtus, that's lamatam in aseichel. If I'm trying to deal with rationality, so then rationality can deal with rationality. But if you're dealing with shtus, so then like the Rambam says in Hilchos Deis, that generally the right path is, the Rambam was very into Midda Rabbeinus, the middle path, not extremes. But then the Rambam says, that's all as you did, if you didn't deviate to one extreme. But if you deviate to one extreme, then you have to go to the other in order to balance it out. So he says, since you're dealing with shtus, that's lamatim and aseichel, so therefore the way to be at Mesaken is not just through seichel, not just through Derech HaMitzua, but to actually find that which is beyond seichel. That which is beyond seichel can fix that which is below seichel. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. What do you say? Somebody said. Valachas kam v'kam shekenu b'negeid shtus luma zasheker oilam shekadei lasis mizem mishkan lo yizbarach harei zedavka adei avoida shalamayla mitam v'das lamayla afilu miseichel v'tam das the kedusha. Certainly when it comes to the falsehood of the world, the shtus of lu'umaza, the shtus of negativity, if you want to turn that into a mishkan, so I have to go beyond seichel, even seichel of kedusha, meaning even tam v'das, even rationality, which is good, which is holiness, but I'm not going to be able to fix the shtus. I have to go into the place that's lamayla min haseichel. Shalza isa b'gemara b'masechta ksuvis, ahani le shtusei l'sova. On this, there's a story in Gemara Maseches Ksuvis, Daf Yud Zayin. Ahani le shtusei l'sova. The Gemara says over there, I think it was Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Ketz megeben haksuvis. You have a ksuvis there. Maseches Ksuvis. The top shelf. The Gemara tells a story there. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak used to go to weddings. And he would dance away and juggle. It was the Bzeda said, "Kamichsef lansava." The old man, the old sage, is embarrassing all of us. It's not covered atayda. Lashna Gemara the Taf Yud Zayin. Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak merakad atlas. Yeah, Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak would take three hadasim and he would juggle. He would juggle by weddings. Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak was considered one of the gedolei hador. So the Bzeda says, "Kamachsef lansava." The man is the old man is embarrassing us. It's embarrassing us. This is not fair for him to do. This is, you know, good for teenagers who are learning how to juggle. The Gemara says when Reb Shmuel passed away, there was amuda denura, there was a pillar of fire that separated from him and everybody else. So the Bzeda said, "Ahani le shtusei l'sava." This is because of the old man shtus, the insanity, the shtus of the old man who I made fun of, Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. This is why he's in a completely different league. There's a pillar of fire, a muda denura, that separated him. Ahani le shtusei l'sava. Rashi says, hoye misnaye kishoyte. So this is the maimer is bringing, this is the shtus that heals the other shtus. What's that? Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak is misnaye kishoyte. Rashi even uses those words. He behaved like, you're talking about one of the gedolei hador. The Bzeda looked up to him. David HaMelech, Echad HaShoyt, was his wife. Michal gave him Musa when they brought the Aron back. So David says, Mefazes u'mecharker b'cholois. Some of them say he was whistling, he was jumping, he was dancing. So his Shaul's daughter tells him, you're behaving like one of the, it's a pasnish. Like one of the Shoytim. This is how Shoytim behave. He lost himself. So what did he tell his wife? He says, no, I would become even more v'niklaisi oid mizais. I will disgrace myself even more, and it wouldn't be enough. What's pshat in this? The pshat is, when you're dealing in a world where there's no shtus, everything is al pi seichel, so then, zelu mazah, you can counterbalance it. When you're dealing with a psyche, a consciousness, where there's so much shtus, where there's so much insanity, that's below seichel. So this is what the Rambam says in Hilchos Deis. I can't, with seichel, I'm not going to win. You have to find the shaita in you. But this is the good shaita. This is how you misnai kashayta. Hani le shtusei l'sava, Reb Zeda says. The shtus of the sava. The health, insanity in the most powerful way. Which means you find that nekuda in you, which is infinite, which is beyond seichel. It's not logical. It's not a mathematical equation. It's not the structured part of me. It's the nekuda. It's extremism. But what type of extremism? Extremism of love, of light, of empowerment, of infinity. It's a different type of shtus. That heals the shtus limza. Inside of us, it heals it. Because now you're talking my language. Now you're talking my language. Sometimes you're talking with somebody who's struggling, right? And we try to speak rationally. You ever saw that? Right? Your teenager is waking up at 4 in the afternoon and you start giving him speeches about how accomplished you are and how accomplished his Elterzijde was and how much money he can make. You know how effective those speeches are, right? It's not that he's not agreeing with you. It didn't even begin to enter into the system. We're not in the same sphere. We're not on the same planet. We're not in the same frequency. The light that you're emitting is not even registering. Your speech is good for your business partner who's interested in the same money like you, the same security. All he wants is waiting, you know, he's waiting for the vacation. So then it's very tempting. So now I need to be able, like the story with Reb Nachman, yeah? With the story, you know, with the rooster, right? Everybody knows the story. He goes under the table. Huh? Yeah. The wise man who goes under the table to be with the turkey. He says, I'm also a turkey. What's the idea? The idea is I need to be able to speak to the shtus de l'umaz, the ruach shtus. The shtus of kedusha that they understand. So inside the person itself, when I try to figure it out with my seichel, it doesn't work over there. You're dealing with a ruach shtus, takut shtus. That's how the Mishkan was built from Atzei Shittim. That's ahani le shtusei l'sava. So this is a whole different type of avodah. The person loses their self-consciousness. They go out of the ego. Even the good ego, the rational ego, the structured ego. It's a place where you touch parts in you that are beyond structure. Umizem muvan gam she'elu she'icholim lifal avodah zu em elu anikroyim b'shem tzivus avaya. And that's why, in order to fulfill this avodah, the Jewish people got their name when they left Mitzrayim. What was their name? Tzivos Hashem. Vahi betzem ayom hazeh yatzu kol tzivos Hashem. It's not stam a name. Because the ones who can do this avoida are those who are called Tzivos Hashem, which literally means the troops of Hashem. Tzava is an army. She'inyonam shel it's a maimah from Tavshin Chavdalet, but it's eerily relevant today. She'inyonam shel anshei achayil shebetzavu hu shaholchim b'mesidus nefesh. Avoida shel amayla mitam v'daskele natzeich b'molchama. If you want to see what this looks like, look at a soldier, at a real soldier. When the soldier goes to war, how he describes it there. He goes into a place that's lamayla mitam v'das. A place that's beyond tam v'das, beyond rationality. Beyond rationality doesn't mean you become a crazy person. That's not what he's talking about. A soldier is not a crazy person. If you're a crazy person, you're a danger. A soldier must be calculated, and must be responsible, more responsible than anybody else, because any move could, God forbid, cost his life and other people's life, as we all understand quite clearly. The soldier goes into a place inside himself that's lamayla mitam v'das. It's not about the regular gains and benefits. I'm going to finish my job, I'm going to get my salary, I'm going to come home. When the soldier is in that mode, he can't be a soldier. The whole mode of the soldier is mesidus nefesh kedei lenatzeach b'melchama, because the mission is to be victorious in the war. You see it today in the Jewish soldiers. You see this. It's not something you can explain. And that's why, this is where you see the emunah in Klal Yisrael. You don't have a mesidus nefesh like this to save the government of Israel. It's not because they love Benjamin Netanyahu or Benny Gantz or because they love the laffa and falafel in the Middle East. It's because they like to vacation on the beach of Tel Aviv. That's not what makes mesidus nefesh. The mesidus nefesh that you're seeing is because in every Jew feels consciously or subconsciously that he's fighting for every single Jew alive and fighting for Eretz Yisrael that was given by Hashem to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov for every Jew from Avram Avinu till Mashiach. The Rebbe once said after the Six-Day War, he said an expression, he says, as a soldat is gestanen mit abix in alarish, it is given gilui alakus lamata. A soldier in uniform standing in Alarish, by Egypt, by the Six-Day War, with his gun, it was gilui alakus, it was a revelation of godliness in this world. Because what's his feeling? What is he feeling at that moment? What is he doing? What is he doing? A part of the self comes out. Which part? The part that's completely egoless, completely divine, completely sacred, completely one with the Jewish people, and one with the ultimate truth. And that's what Mesidas Nefesh is. Mesidas Nefesh doesn't mean I want to die because I hate life. No, Mesidas Nefesh means you're touching the core of reality that transcends any calculation, and suddenly you see what matters to you more than anything else is Emes, Hashem Echad, the ultimate truth of reality. Yisrael, Eraisa v'kutsha b'richa kol echad. What matters to you is Geula. What matters to you is redemption. What matters to you is Emes Hashem la'olam. It's not something you say, but yeah, but what doesn't make sense? but you have to think. I know I have to think. I know tomorrow when I go back, I'm going to think. I'm an accountant and I'm going to do all day. I'm going to think how numbers work. That's called shtus de kedusha. It's a different Indian. So you'll say, but logically, what about logic? It's not that there's no logic. He's a very logical person. It's a nekuda of self that is not defined by seichel. Seichel can't grasp it. Seichel is too poor. It doesn't have the language to capture it. That's why at this moment, Jews are called Sivis Hashem. This is the concept of a soldier. V'hainu sheba'ofen achir yi'ef sheliyis inyan ha'nitzachin. In another way, you can't have nitzachin. Elim ken helchim b'molchama al menas limser nafsha. You want every soldier to come back alive. And may every soldier come home safely. But the mindset of the soldier is, what's he saying here? If the soldier is thinking tomorrow about coming back, it's a different mindset. The soldier, the real soldier, goes into a space where he's breathing Mesidas Nefesh. And that's how you win. That's how you win. Why? Because if I'm not in that space, I can't confront the horrible darkness that I'm confronting. You're dealing with such evil, like the Jewish people are dealing with. You're dealing with such darkness. You're dealing with such insanity. How do you confront such insanity? You have to find the holy insanity. You have to find that holiness. And by the way, this is one of the big issues in terms of the bigger picture. The enemy of the Jewish people doesn't work with rationality. To be a shiad, to die and get your 72 pies of pizza in heaven, is the goal. Like one of the Hamas leaders, Hamas, Yamach Shmuel, said, the difference between us and the Jews is they're very weak because they want to live. We want to die. So they're never going to win. We want to die. We don't have a problem dying. They're weak. They want to live. Nebuch. So they're busy trying to live. We want to die. So there's nothing that can stop us. What, are you going to kill us? Exactly. We want that. This is the shtus in the most depraved, evil fashion. Die and kill others and die yourself. And as one of the prime ministers of Israel said, peace will come when the Arabs will start loving their children more than they hate ours. The whole Yiddishkeit is a bacharta bachayim, choose life. Kol ha'makayim nefesh achas kilu kiyam ayla malei, pikuach nefesh doicha kol ha'teira kula. You can't fight that from an attitude of complacency, like, yeah, we just want to live, we want to go on vacation, we want to have a comfortable life. Because it's such powerful evil. The counterbalance for that is that the Jewish people teach the world the real Mesidas Nefesh. The real Mesidas Nefesh is not about going into my comfort zone so I could live just a secular, simple life and enjoy myself in comfort. Then, I can't confront you. That's why they thought the Jewish people are weak. Because it looked like, you know, we're busy fighting and fighting about this and fighting about that. And they have the idealism, Allah Akbar. But the truth is when the Nekuda HaPnimis of a Jew comes out, so Jews are lions. They fight like lions. Heinam kilavi yakum v'chari yisnasa. It's a different mindset. It's the Mesidas Nefesh for life. It's the Mesidas Nefesh for goodness. It's the Mesidas Nefesh for love. It's the Mesidas Nefesh for making the world a good place, a godly place. So that's the Tzivus Hashem. V'zeu inyanei shel kol echad v'echad mi'Yisrael. And this is true about every single Jew. Every Jew at its core is part of Tzivus Hashem. Every Jew who left Mitzrayim is called Tzivus Hashem, and we're all their descendants. When they left Mitzrayim, which was the preparation for Matan Torah, and then the Mishkan would be built. Matan Torah was the beginning of the building of the Mishkan, because that's when Hashem gave all the mitzvahs, including the Mishkan. That's when they're called Tzivus Hashem, because that's the only way you could take the shtus and turn it into a mishkan. That's the concept of Mesiras Nefesh. When he was dancing at that wedding, juggling Hadassim, that's called a Mesiras Nefesh. It's not that Mesiras Nefesh doesn't mean I die, Chas v'Shalom. Of course, that's also that Mesiras Nefesh, those who give their life itself. Mesiras Nefesh is the mindset where I'm not defined by the structures of my logic and my brain. If it makes sense to me, if my brain comprehends it, the person gets in touch with an energy that is beyond that. In our own lives, there's moments of Mesiras Nefesh that sometimes don't look like Mesiras Nefesh, but they are. You're confronting a moment of shtus, of difficulty, insanity. If you try to approach it rationally, intellectually, you could fall apart completely. You know what I'm talking about? That's not how you approach it. You approach it like a soldier. Like I said, Shabbos, I stop saying what I need, and I start asking what I'm needed for. Sometimes a person is, let's say, struggling with a child very, very heavily. And they start asking why and how should it work and what should my approach and how do I make sense out of it. And they fall apart. The darkness is too deep. The person must go into a different place. I don't have to understand. What I do have to understand is what my mission is. Not why and I figure it out. I have to tune into what my mission is. My mission doesn't have to be to understand and make sense. My mission doesn't have to be to show up with my entire soul and my entire presence, with my brain and that which is even beyond what my brain can structure and figure out. And that's the soldier. And that's what it says in Tanya, that even a Kal Shebekalim, even the most lightheaded of Jews you see, has this capacity inside of them. You see it. In Tanya, in Perek Yud-Ches, he says famously, throughout history you saw that there were Jews. At the surface, they couldn't care less about anything. If you asked them on a regular Wednesday who they are, they would explain to you how sophisticated they are and agnostic they are. And then there was a moment of truth, and it triggered their core, and suddenly, wow, you saw a completely different person. A completely different person. And you don't need proof for this today from a sefer. This is, you see the Jewish people today. And it doesn't make sense. After such atrocities, such tragedies, right? People should l'chayra become more distant from God. If you believe in God, so you should become more distant. But what happens is the exact opposite. You see a yisairus in Eretz Yisrael and among Jews generally that's unprecedented. What happens? What happens is, there's moments when the superficial layers of life don't work anymore. It's not working. It's too painful. It's too intense. So what do you have? You have your essence. And the essence of a Jew is that he's in Sivus Hashem. That's what Alter Rebbe says in Tanya. Even a Kal Shebekalim, you're mistaking him. He doesn't know himself. If he would know himself, he would know that he's a shtick Mesiras Nefesh. That's who he is. He's a shtick Mesiras Nefesh. So as long as I can delude myself that life is working well with my superficial layers, I live in that space. The moment something shatters all the veils and all the curtains and all the cover-ups, the essence comes out. And when the essence comes out, you see that he has the capacity for Mesiras Nefesh al-Kiddush Hashem. If you watch videos of soldiers, of parents, mothers, fathers, how they're speaking today, it's l'mayla metam v'das. It's not al-piseichel, It's not 2 + 2 = 4. It's like almost this, like a... It's like a whole different energy comes out. It's not different, it's the core. In terms of faith and unity and power and resilience. With all the pain, the crazy pain. It's like what comes out is such love, such depth. Such truth. You could call it a shtus. It's exactly what it is. But this is a different type of shtus. This is shtus, the kedusha. This is a shtus that's higher than seichel, not lower than seichel. You have a shtus that's lower than seichel, but you're not thinking. Mashoita. You have a shtus, I already finished thinking. You understand the difference? One guy didn't start thinking, and one guy, I finished thinking already, I'm done. I spent enough years, philosophy of Avraham understands what I'm saying. I spent enough years thinking. I spent a whole lifetime thinking. I'm done. I graduated. What's next? Take me to the next level. And Tanya brings the apostle It's a hafladika thing. In Tehillim it says, David HaMelech says, Vani var v'loy eda behemos hayisi imach. I'm ignorant, I don't know. I'm like a behemoth with you. Vani tamid imach. And I'm always with you. So the most people say, David HaMelech is saying, I'm ignorant, I don't know, I'm a shaita, I'm a behemoth, but I'm still with you. You know, maybe I'm a behemoth, but I'm your behemoth. Which is nice. The Alter Rebbe says, no. Vani var, v'loy eda, behemoth hayisi imach. Therefore, vani tamid imach. Therefore, I could be with you. The only way you could touch Ein Sof is through ultimate ignorance. He says over there, Pesi yamin l'chol davar. A fool believes everything. So it says in Medrash, Zem Moshe Rabbeinu. Now tell me, if you were an author of a Medrash, this is what you would say about Moshe Rabbeinu? The Rambam calls him Mivchar Min HaEnushi. The best that humanity could produce. The best. From all things you want to say about Moshe Rabbeinu, one thing that's not the name I would call him. For starters, he was the greatest Rosh Hashiva in history. He kept all the shiurim, yeah? I feel the briska shiurim at the kent. I feel the gris stencils at the kent. Hakel kol mash at Talmud vasik osel l'chadish, hakel nitin l'moshe mesina. That's the term. It's a peledik. So the Alter Rebbe explains meiridik. When you're talking about ein soif, hakel kipsoyim etzlo yizbarach. Foolishness is the only way to touch it. When you're talking about goynes, genius, mathematics, then seichel is a compliment. When you're talking about pure infinity, oy, seichel is the word. Try to contain infinity in a cup. Thank you. Pesi yam lechol davar. Vani var v'loye the behemis a yisimach. Therefore vani tamedimach. Therefore I could be with you. Here shtus is the only way to go. Okay, we'll take a break here. Be'ezer Hashem will continue. The next shir, tomorrow is a shir for women, 9:30. You can tell your wives or daughters. Be'ezer Hashem will resume Thursday morning, 8 o'clock. Huh? Always. Good shtus, good shtus. There's shtus and there's shtus. There's ruach shtus of an aveda. And then there's a hani le shtus e l'sava. Shmuel ba'yitzchot shtus. Dancing at a wedding, there was no self-consciousness, so it's called shtus. He's embarrassing. You're embarrassing us. I'm not a. There was no self, in a good way, like David HaMelech. He let it go. He didn't know. I let it go. You let it go completely. So who am I? I'm a channel for the divine. You don't need to figure it out. What I have, the brain is a blessing to use for what it has to be used. I have to understand a question in Gemara, now I have to use my brain. I'm a shaita. Don't be a shaita. Be responsible. But what using the brain when you don't have to use the brain is a disaster. If I'm juggling at a wedding and I'm trying to figure out, do I look good? Don't, oh my God. Huh? Then you're a shaita, yeah. If you use your brain when you don't have to use it, that's a shaita. When you don't use your brain, when you use your brain when you have to use it, that's a chacham. How do you become a pesi? Oh, that's an avoida. For that you need a lot of chachma. For that you need a lot of seichel. You have to have a lot of seichel in order to give it up. Understand? If I don't have seichel and I give it up, it's not, that's called shtus. I'm not using my seichel. Yeah. You have to have seichel and then give it up. That's what shtus the kedusha is. And then you know it's l'mayla min ha-seichel. How do you know if something is l'mayla min ha-seichel or l'mata min ha-seichel? Let's put it simply. What's in between a cult member and a pesi yamin l'chol davar Moshe Rabbeinu? What's the difference? The answer is, one person already finished with the seichel. He's not threatened by seichel. He's not threatened. Seichel is not the enemy. He's not busy being scared of seichel. No. Well, fine. I love seichel. It's very good. I just know its limits. There's no negative relationship to intellect. Never. Once there's a lot of seichel, now you can give it up. Now you can go l'mayla min ha-seichel. L'mata min ha-seichel means I'm afraid even of touching seichel. In other words, there's an insecurity at my core. There's a blindness. There's a stupidity. It's a whole different inyan. One touches the deepest chords of self, And one is afraid even to get close to the self. So I just have to be blind, dumb and blind and deaf. Instead, it's a whole different...
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.